Whenever I'm planning the services, I usually try to make the hymns connect with the point of the day, at least the non-communion hymns. And even though we changed our first hymn this morning, you can see that I had intended to talk about prayer today, based upon our epistle reading. And prayer is always an important thing to consider, especially when faced with uncertainty. But honestly, Christians, the events of this past week changed my focus. Because I'm sure we're all still reeling from the assassination of Charlie Kirk in Utah. And if you hadn't heard about it yet, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. But it's not my intention to talk about the details of it today. I'll leave that to others, especially since I'm sure it's going to be in the news for weeks to come. But I do want to talk about our reaction to it, and to talk especially about what God's Word has to teach us today. Because I'll speak honestly for myself and say that when I first heard about it, I was shocked. Honestly, that's kind of surprising, because I'll be the first to admit that I don't really follow the news. But even when I do pay attention to the news, I'm usually not surprised. I mean, we hear about all kinds of terrible things that happen in the world, and we don't usually think twice about it. We're kind of numb to it all. But there was something different about this. And I'm sure that most of us are actually still trying to process it. But I also know that I felt rather disgusted. Not just by what happened, although that was terrible enough, but by the reaction of some who express happiness, even glee, that it happened. And of course, you may have noticed that some in Congress refused even to give him a moment of respect. I think that this will be one of those moments that defines us in our history, something kind of like September 11th and the aftermath with that. And what that's going to mean exactly remains to be seen. All I can say is it's likely going to be a difficult time. But this is exactly why we need to hear our epistle reading for today. Even if what we hear from James is a bit surprising to us at first. James says in verse 2, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." Count it all joy, he says. Well, why would he say that? Are you crazy, James? How can we think of these things as joy? How can we look at what has happened and think of it as anything but bad? How can trials be joy? But pay attention closely to what James says. He says, count it all joy. He doesn't say it is all joy, but rather count it all joy. Consider this to be a good thing. Well, what's the difference, we might ask? Well, if we say that it is joy, well, that'd be like calling something good bad and something bad good. It would mean that God sends things into our lives simply because they're bad. And that would make God bad. And that's simply not true. Rather, James says, count it all joy. Look beyond it to see its greater purpose. As he goes on to say in verse 3, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Testing produces steadfastness. Out of this comes something. This testing is going somewhere. God sends crosses upon us not to crush us, but in order to bring great good. And that is why we should count it all joy. Let's skip down a bit in our reading to get an example of what this means. James says, starting in verse 9, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. Since James is talking about those who are rich in verse 10, we can assume that the lowly in verse 9 refers to those who are poor. Let the poor brother boast in his exaltation. Not because he's going to be lifted up and made wealthy in an earthly sense. James makes it very clear in this passage that all earthly wealth is going to pass away. Rather, let him boast in being lifted up by God. In other words, being lifted up after his time of poverty. And I know that we usually think of being poor as a bad thing. You struggle to make ends meet. You're not really sure how you're going to make it. And you might even be unable to afford some of the critical things in life. It seems to be bad. But count it all joy, James says. Not as if God is forcing you to be poor for no reason, but rather because after this cross, after that poverty, God will raise you up and give you the true riches which are above and where you will lack nothing in him. Poverty teaches a man to look up towards God, knowing that God will give him the crown of life that he has promised for those who love him. And on the other hand, let the rich man boast in his humiliation. Let him boast in losing everything. Again, we might think of that as a bad thing. We can think of all kinds of examples of people who were well off, or at least making ends meet, and suddenly they met disaster and they lost it all. It seems to be bad. But count it all joy, James says. Not as if God is casting you down, but because through it God is teaching you not to trust in the world. God is weaning you off of these earthly things which so easily ensnare your soul, so that you will look to the riches in God above, that you will look to the crown of life which God has promised for those who love him. Christians, maybe you struggle with this. Maybe you find it hard to see how it's true. It can be very difficult to count all things as joy, especially when we're going through those trials. And this is why what James has to say about prayer is so important. Because if we do not understand, if we can't see how this is meant for good, we only have to come to the Lord in prayer. We can call on him to guide us through, knowing that he will grant that wisdom to all who trust in him. Now, we should not doubt it, of course. We can't expect anything if we don't trust in God, because in that case, we would be accusing him of not caring for us, accusing him of simply doing these things without purpose. And in that case, we can't expect to be answered. But when we call on him in faith, call on him knowing that he is our Father who cares for us. Call on him knowing that no matter what happens, he means it for our ultimate good. Then we can know that God will give us that wisdom. It is a prayer that he never fails to answer. Besides, Christians, why should we doubt? Why should we think that God no longer cares for us when these things happen? What greater proof do you have of the care and the concern of God than Jesus Christ, his Son? Jesus suffered for you. Jesus died for you. Jesus gave his life for you. And if God was willing to give up his only Son to save you from your sins, What makes you think that he's suddenly going to forget? That he's suddenly no longer going to care? What makes us think that God is fickle, as if he loves us one moment and hates us the next? No, God's love has no end. Jesus is the undeniable proof of that. And even his death on that cross, as terrible as it was meant for our eternal good. Because through it, God gave us the greatest good of all. Eternal life with him in heaven. God has done all of these things for us. We should not doubt that he cares for us. So what will be the result of this past week? God really only knows, Christians. But I think that there's at least two things that can be said. And one, that is that those who delighted in this murder, those who were glad about it, will receive their judgment. I mean, we see it already happening. God will give them the due reward for their sadistic glee, and that's a good thing. But secondly, and perhaps more importantly, I think this will lead the church to open her eyes. Because we too often get comfortable, especially in a country like ours. And we often don't take our spiritual warfare as seriously as we ought to do. But I think that this is going to wake up the church to the seriousness of her situation. So that we will remember, as Paul says in Ephesians 6, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. In other words, I think this will lead the church to take her war against Satan and evil far more seriously. And that is certainly a good thing. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who as our loving Father lays our crosses upon us for our good, lead us to always trust in you, knowing that you work all things for good for those who love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.